Welcome. Thank you so much for joining me here at the Home on Purpose podcast, where we talk about anything and everything that could possibly make life at home easier. And this is a very big deal to me because my life is about to go through a pretty significant transition. And if I don't think things through and plan ahead, I could potentially have a very frazzled year ahead of me, and I don't like myself when I'm in that frazzled state of mind. I lose things, I lose track of appointments, I show up late to things, and it just makes life so much less enjoyable. And I want to enjoy my life. I want to enjoy time with my kids and time with my husband, and it's very hard to do that. It's very hard to have a peaceful, relaxed, and enjoyable life when I'm constantly scrambling to keep up with regular everyday life. So in this podcast episode, I'm going to share with you about the big transition coming up in my life and how I am taking action today to avoid the frazzle in the future. So for those of you who are new to Home on Purpose, first of all, a very special welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. We're glad that you have joined our little community. And here's just a little bit about my backstory so you can see where I'm coming from. So when I graduated from college, I became a math teacher. I taught for 5 years, and during that time, I met and dated my husband, who was at the time active duty military. So when we got married, I became a military wife, which means moving every 2 or 3 years. And for any of you teachers out there who are also military wives, seriously, kudos to you for doing all of that obnoxious work to keep your credential up, transfer it from state to state, and constantly work at a new school with a new curriculum. That is hard. At first I tried, but then I had 2 babies back to back, and I always knew that I wanted to stay home with them if it was financially viable, at least until they were well established in their elementary grades. So fast forward to today. My husband last year just retired from the military. We are now settled and he has a civilian job again. We don't anticipate moving anytime soon. And so my big transition is that I am going back to being a classroom teacher. And I have a job all lined up for the fall and I'm preparing my curriculum and I'm really excited about this. But it has occurred to me that the last time I was a teacher, I was single. So if I ever had a giant stack of papers to grade, or if I realized that my lesson plan wasn't going to work out and I needed to retool, or if I just had an emotionally exhausting day, I could cancel all my plans and do what I needed to do on my own. Nobody was dependent on me outside of the classroom. Well, I am a mother of a 7 and a 9-year-old right now, and I'm a wife, and I have a house, not one little room of one little apartment, but, you know, a whole house to take care of. I'm not really going to have the freedom to just disappear whenever I feel like it. I am going to be a full-time working mother. I've never been a full-time working mother. I've run Home on Purpose on the side. But again, any time that I felt that life was getting a little bit too intense and I needed to back off, I always had the option of doing that. I can't do that as a classroom teacher. I have to show up every single day with my lessons prepared. And when I come home, I have to grade those papers. And I still have to get dinner on the table, keep the house in order. And obviously, I still want to be a good wife to my husband and a good mother to my kids. And that's not something that I can just do automatically, especially not during the first year of teaching when the curriculum is new, the school is new, the computer programs, the attendance programs, the grading programs, all. It's a really big learning curve your first year at a new school. So as I said before, if I'm not very intentional, if I don't think ahead and plan ahead, I could set myself up to have a very frazzled year that is just filled with negative emotion. And in the back of my mind, I'm always worried that my kids might be a little bit disappointed that their mom has chosen to go back to work because I don't want them to see me going back to work as a negative thing. And if I suddenly become stressed out mommy who doesn't want anybody to talk to her because I'm so busy, 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 they're going to connect that with me going back to work, and they may very well start to resent that. And of course, I don't want to live like that. I would like to enjoy my first year back in the classroom. I'm excited to go back into teaching. I miss it, and I would like it to be a positive experience for all of us. So what do I do? How do I make this transition without all of the frustrated, stressful negativity? Well, for those of you familiar with the Home on Purpose program, one of the things that we are constantly doing, it's kind of like a hallmark of home management, is anticipating or predicting the problems or difficulties that we are most likely going to encounter in the future, the ones that have the biggest impact on our day-to-day lives, and seeing if there's any way to solve those problems before they begin. This is the essence of the Intentionalize videos that, if you want to check them out, they're on the website, all sorts of different topics covered there. And it is the core idea of the Guide to a Smooth School Year. That's an instructional guide where you look at the entire school year as a road trip that you take with your family, and that road can be filled with, you know, potholes and speed bumps, or we can do things to smooth out the road so that everybody can enjoy the ride a little bit more. That's what that instructional guide is all about. And so that is what I am doing in my own life right now. As I'm making this podcast, it is June, and thankfully the school year does not start until after Labor Day. So I have a good solid two and a half months to figure some stuff out, make some changes, and hopefully make my future life easier. And before I tell you how I'm doing that, I want to make one thing crystal clear. I am not going to attempt to solve every tiny little thing. That is not only impossible, it's also not worth my time. Some things are going to be more difficult when I go back to work, and that's okay. It's a transition. It's something new. My responsibility list is going to basically double in the fall. And so some stuff is going to be more difficult, and I've accepted that reality. That is part and parcel of me choosing to be a full-time working mother instead of a stay-at-home mother. I'm also realistic enough to recognize that I'm not going to be able to predict everything. I am going to be caught by surprise in a lot of different ways, and I have no idea what they are right now. And again, I'm not going to dwell on that or try to predict everything. Instead, all I'm going to do is visualize what a regular school week will look like in the fall and think about what aspects of that school week will obviously become much more difficult. What might cause trouble or frustration on a regular basis? And then from that brainstorm, I chose specific problems that could be avoided with a reasonable amount of preparation. And the first problem I saw right away was the morning routine. See, last year, after I dropped the kids off at school, I pretty much always had the option of coming right back to the house. So if I didn't get breakfast, or if my hair was a mess, or even if I was still in my pajamas, it's kind of not that big of a deal because all I'm doing is dropping them off in the pickup line. Nobody can even see what I'm wearing, and then I just come right back home. Well, that is not going to be the case in the fall. I'm going to have to take care of myself. So while the kids are doing their morning routine, I'm going to disappear to my bathroom to do my hair and makeup, or I'll be running around the kitchen preparing my own lunch, and I won't necessarily have time to stop and check that my son remembers that, oh, it's library day, go get the books, or that my daughter has remembered her homework, or that both of them have remembered to put ice packs in their lunch. I'm just not going to be available. So I need to know that when I disappear from the kitchen, that my kids are going to continue to follow the morning routine well without my direct supervision. My kids are 7 and 9. I think this is a reasonable expectation to place on them. It will definitely make every single morning much more enjoyable and less stressful and run more smoothly. So I think this is a great problem to solve. And that's what I'm doing right now. Now, the kids are not in school anymore, but they have things like vacation Bible school and sports camp and church on Sundays, or even just when I say, hey guys, we're going to go to a park, let's get ready and go. What I'm doing is I'm giving them specific instructions, and then I am disappearing on purpose. So even if I'm completely ready to go, I'm telling them, okay, you've got to pack a snack and a water bottle and get this and get that, and we're leaving in 10 minutes, and I disappear. I go up to my room, I sit on my phone, I check my email, whatever, but I am not physically present on purpose. And then I come back 5 minutes later to check in on them. And we've had some conversations where I've told them, hey, look, guys, in the fall, I am going to not be available to help you get ready for school. You are going to need to take care of these things yourself. And we all know how frustrating it is when you forget your homework or your library books or your lunch or whatever, and I'm not going to be there to check in on you. So this is us practicing for the fall. And so I say, okay, I'm going to disappear again for another 5 minutes. Let's see if you can do a good job of getting yourselves ready. So it's kind of like a training process that has so far been pretty effective. And I know they're going to forget things, and I know that it's not going to be perfect, but I like the idea that it's on their radar, that it's something that they are aware of. And in the morning, when I see them, you know, I wake them up and say, okay, time to get ready for school. By the way, remember, I'm not going to be able to help you, so you need to take care of yourself. They know what I'm saying. They have experience already. And so I expect some bumps in the road, but not giant bumps that ruin the whole day. I feel like we're already doing a great job of smoothing out that part of the school day. And I've been really proud of my kids' progress, their independence, and I feel like it's not just helping me, but it's also very good for them. They are growing up, they're taking on more responsibility for themselves, and when they forget something, they're taking responsibility for those mistakes as well. So it's been really lovely to see them grow and mature while I also get to have some of my anxiety for the autumn alleviated just a little bit. Another huge change that's coming up has to do with grocery shopping. Right now, I probably go to the grocery store like 4 or 5 times a week because it's only 5 minutes away. My schedule is very flexible, and it's not that difficult for me to just pop down to the store if I've forgotten an ingredient for dinner or if the kids ask for something. And obviously, when I begin working full-time, that's not going to happen anymore. I will only be able to make it to the grocery store probably twice a week at the most, and I'm going to be going during the really busy times when there's lots of other people in the stores. And I know myself, that means that it's going to be harder for me to concentrate, harder for me to make decisions. If I don't go into the store with a clear and complete list, then I'm going to get really irritated spending an entire hour in the store fighting through the crowds and then come home and realize I still don't have everything that I was supposed to get. So this summer, the way that I'm preparing for this is I am forcing myself to practice. Even though I have the freedom to pop down to the store and get little onesie-twosie items, I'm not going to. I'm going to choose 2 days out of the week and say, these are my grocery shopping days, and that's it. And this is leading to a bunch of different changes, which I kind of see them as separate problems that I am solving. One problem I'm solving is recalibrating my children's expectations. Just because you tell me that you want a certain kind of, you know, cheese for your sandwich or whatever, that doesn't mean it's going to automatically appear in the refrigerator the very next day. There's going to be a lag time between requesting an item and actually getting the item. And that's what we've been practicing. So instead of waiting for the peanut butter jar to run out completely and then being annoyed that you don't have peanut butter for a few days, you have to notice when the jar is running low and add it to the list before it runs out. And even then, I'm also kind of preparing them for the fact that, hey, I'm getting a giant cartload and I might not get everything on the list. And so I'm also kind of on purpose forgetting some things. I'm choosing not to get certain items that are on the list that I know that they can do without, to kind of get them used to this new reality that, hey, mommy is not your personal shopper and you're not going to have everything that you want available all the time. And they're getting used to it slowly. Obviously, since I'm only going shopping twice a week, this is something that's going to take time over the summer for them to get used to. But so far, they've been doing okay. Now, on the other side of things is meal planning. See, again, right now as a stay-at-home mom, I'm getting ready to cook dinner and, oh, maybe I'll make this. Hey, we need Alfredo sauce. No big deal. I'll just pop by the store real quick. Well, I'm not going to have that option in the fall. I'm going to be getting up early, working all day, driving the kids around to their activities. And when I come home, I need to know that I know what I'm cooking for dinner, that I have all of the ingredients that I need. And if that's not the case, then I have to go to my emergency meals. Now, I know how to do this. I know how to do meal planning. I've done it in the past. But for the last, 9 years or so, I haven't really had to, so I am not in the habit of doing it. And there is a very big difference between knowing how to do something and being in the habit of doing it regularly. I know how to snowboard, but every year when I go on the slopes for the very first time, I strap on that snowboard and it's like I kind of have to relearn how to scoot over to the lift and especially how to get off the lift and how to stop even when it's icy. It takes a little bit of time for those things to come back to me. And so I'm assuming the same thing is going to be true about meal planning. And that's another thing that I am forcing myself to practice by restricting my number of grocery shopping trips in a week. I have to look at the schedule. I have to look at what we have in the pantry, the refrigerator, the freezer. I have to make a very detailed list, thinking through not only dinners, but also breakfast and lunch and snacks, making sure that we have a decent variety of healthy foods that will last until the next grocery run. The other thing I'm doing in the process is I'm researching the good takeout options, because no matter how well you plan, dinner is going to fall apart sometimes, whether it's because I've got too much work to do or I've messed up dinner, I forgot to defrost the meat or, you know, whatever it is. And I want to know what my backup plans are. And yeah, I don't mind doing pizza or Chinese food or even a fast food drive-through every once in a while. But for all I know, I'm going to be so swamped with work that I'm going to be doing the takeout option once or twice a week. I have no idea. And I want to make sure that I know what the healthier options are just in case I need them. And so I'm doing a little bit of research. I actually have a frozen shepherd's pie in the freezer right now that we're going to try tonight. I want to know if it's any good, because if it is and the whole family likes it, hey, that's great to know. And maybe at the beginning of the month, I can just buy one and keep it in the freezer as my emergency meal, just in case. You know, I'm realizing something as I'm talking about all of this. We started with such a simple change about the number of times I could go to the grocery store, but the ripple effects just keep going and going. And I'm really glad that I'm thinking of this now in June, and I'm planning ahead and preparing ahead, because if I waited until the fall, waited until it was the third night in a row that we had to do some takeout option because mommy didn't make a good meal plan that week, it would have started off the school year on a very negative note. And I would have felt guilty and just not feeding my family properly or not being able to keep up with things. And then also I would have to be changing these habits, these very firmly ingrained habits, in the midst of an already busy and stressful time, not to mention all the other tiny little problems that I can't possibly predict. That's why it's so important for me to be intentional about solving the problems that I can predict. So I know this doesn't really sound like the most fun way to spend my summer, and a lot of people would say, no, you should relax and enjoy your life and not worry about all that other stuff that's going to come later. But I'm looking at the big picture. Instead of having a supremely relaxing summer and then a crazy frazzled school year, what I see myself as doing is kind of like balancing out life. Yes, I am adding a little more work to my summer, but the amount of stress and frustration that I am relieving, that is totally worth the investment. And there's another really cool side effect that's been happening. the process of me thinking ahead, talking about the changes with the kids, adjusting our habits and our routines together, it's really starting to feel like we're all on the same team. So that when we encounter one of those inevitable bumps in the road, we're ready to talk about it and work together to solve it as a team. So that is the huge transition coming up in my life and how I am being intentional about avoiding my future frazzles. But of course, Home on Purpose is not all about me and what I do in my home. It's about you. We all come here because we want to find different ways to make our life at home easier. We want to take the frustration and struggle and frazzle out of our own lives. So I'm going to challenge you to do three simple things. Start with a simple brainstorming session, just like I did. So you wait until the house is quiet, the kids are in bed, and you just take 5 minutes to yourself, maybe with a little notepad and a pencil, and you think about how a regular day in a regular week feels. What causes you the most frustration? What chore or task or routine feels like the heaviest burden? What tends to go wrong on a regular basis that you wish would go right? Now, I don't want you to dwell too long on the negative, so as quickly as you can, move on to the next step, which is choose one problem that you feel fairly confident that you can solve. I'm sure you can think of frustrations in your life that you probably can't solve on your own, so that's not what we're talking about right now. I'm talking about things that you do have control over. Routines that you can adjust, habits that you can build, changes that you can make. That's what we're going to focus on. And if you have a few options, pick the one where you feel like you're going to get, I'll use this phrase, you're going to get the most bang for your buck. That a little bit of intentionality will have a huge reward on the other end. Once you've chosen the problem that you want to solve, the frazzle that you want to avoid, then the last step is simply to start gathering ideas for how you might go about doing that. And of course, Home on Purpose is a treasure trove of ideas just like that. So one thing you can do is go to practicalfamily.org/homeonpurpose and click on Intentionalize. And you'll see a whole host of short videos that are like 3 to 6 minutes. And they cover all sorts of different corners of the home and lots of different topics. And even if you don't see the exact topic that you're looking for, after watching a few of those videos, it'll start to spark some ideas. Another wonderful guide that I absolutely loved creating is The Guide to a Smooth School Year. We cover in great detail topics like how to delegate responsibilities to the kids so that your workload can be lightened, and building stronger daily routines just like I'm doing, creating effective study spaces so your kids can actually have a fighting chance to focus on their homework. And I've got thoughts for both homeschooling families and families who send their kids to school. There's good stuff in there for everybody. So no matter what kind of family you have, how big, how small, no matter what kind of schooling you use, this guide can help you identify your biggest sources of school year frustration, and it gives you the tools and strategies that you need to smooth out the road ahead so that everybody can enjoy the school year together as a family. So if that sounds good to you, I've included a link to the guide right here next to the podcast episode. So go ahead and click on that and learn more about that guide and see if you think it would be a good fit for your family. Well, thank you again for joining me here at the Home on Purpose podcast. I hope this episode has been a blessing to you, and I hope you will join me again soon.